Hey everybody, it's time for another edition to the Mountain Town Diaries. I've been here at the local ice climbing park watching the climbers and taking photographs for the last hour or so, and I thought I would interview somebody. So I've picked a victim at random, and he's kindly offered to help us out and help us to learn a little bit more about the ins and outs of ice climbing. Actually, there's a kind of a funny story that goes with this. Last night, I was at the bar and I was speaking to a group, and we agreed that it would be fun to do a podcast interview the following day. And I got there today, and of course, everybody looked different with their climbing gear and helmets on, and I couldn't figure out who was who. So that didn't quite go according to plan. But I'm sure I look different to everybody else with all of my winter layers on. So that's the way it goes sometimes. At least I got somebody, and I think it's going to be fun. Anyway, here we go. All right, folks, welcome to another episode of Mountain Town Diaries. I'm here with Sam.
What's happening?
Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely.
Taking some time out of your climbing day.
Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Real nice day to come sit in the sun. Needed a break anyway.
It is a beautiful day, that's for sure. So you're a pretty accomplished ice climber. 6, 7 years now.
Yeah, a little bit. I
And then some.
started in 2013, 2014, and just kind of dove in both feet, and it's been the main thing I love to do. I kind of climb in the summer to stay in shape for winters.
Right.
Kind of the backwards for most climbers.
Okay,
Most
see.
climbers are like, yeah, I guess I'll climb ice because
Yeah.
there's nothing else to do.
So you prefer the winter.
Oh, I love winter. Yeah, it's
Excellent.
my favorite time.
And you're a Colorado native?
Lived here since 06.
Okay.
Moved out from San Diego. I was there for about a year and a half, but grew up in the like Lake Tahoe, Carson City, Nevada area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that counts as native.
Yeah, close
That's
enough.
just long enough.
Not, it was a bumper sticker. I'm not a native, but I got here as quick as I could.
Yeah, I think we all did. So how did you find out about this tiny town's ice park?
So a buddy of mine, a handful of years ago, it was like six, yeah, like I said, 6, 7 years ago, hit me up on Facebook one time, and he was like, "Hey, I'm going to this ice festival in Lake City. You want to go?" And I was like, "I have no idea where that's at.
Right.
What is that?" And we just decided to come down and check it out. And he'd never been either, and he'd heard it through the grapevine somehow. And we came down, and the first year we were here, there was, I don't know, 50, 65 people maybe. Just a super, super fun little kind of chill atmosphere. And the Ice Fest was really cool. Everybody's super friendly. The town was really accommodating, and
Absolutely, yeah.
just fell in love and been coming back ever since. I come back at least 2 or 3 times a year, and then for the Ice Fest every year.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So how did you get started in ice climbing? Because it's kind of an expensive way to go, and it's kind of a steep learning curve, isn't there?
Yeah, so I got into climbing in 2013.
Okay.
Just in general, started top roping at the gym. Buddy of mine took me up a couple of multi-pitch routes, had a blast. And then, winter started coming in, and it started getting cold. Can't climb with there's snow and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I was kind of over the snowboarding scene because, driving 3, 4 hours in traffic from the Front Range and then paying, $100 and something a lift ticket. It's like, this is ridiculous. So I wanted to come up with something else to do. And a buddy of mine was like, "Have you ever tried ice climbing?" Like, "No." And he was like, "We should go out." And so we went out to Hidden Falls up in Rocky Mountain National Park. It's kind of a real popular Front Range crag. And went up there and learned a few lessons the hard way, and did some stuff right, did some stuff wrong. And it was like I was instantly hooked. And then was lucky enough to stumble across one of my best buds, and he's just an awesome mentor. He's a pro climber, like super, super badass guy.
Oh.
And he started taking me up to the Vail Amphitheater on some like real big ice, and just kind of progressed from there, and just I've never looked back.
That's really cool. It's a good way to learn if you've got an expert to help
It
you
was
along.
nice. I've been really blessed with kind of who I've had as mentors. Like every person that I can call a mentor has been like a rock solid partner, super safe, just really good salt of the earth people, like just quality human beings. And I've been really lucky So I try to give back to that extent. And I got my SPI for guiding and instructing for rock. And I've been just kind of working the last couple of years on getting just really, really refined and dialed in on ice. And next year I want to try to get my ice instructing certification.
Wow.
Start guiding on some ice.
So what does it take to get to that level, to get your certification?
For the ice, it's just a ton of practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, lots and lots of refinement on your movement, your anchor systems, protecting your clients or your seconds and your thirds, like climbing with multiple people on different ropes and running different rope lines. And it's a lot of stuff you really have to think about with ice that you don't have to think about with rock.
Oh.
Because the ice fall is obviously one of the most clear and present dangers.
Absolutely.
It's tough if you have a couple people and you're trying to bring them up the same line. You can't stack them one underneath each other like you can on rock necessarily. And
okay.
So you kind of have to separate them, and it requires a little different train of thought and how you anchor and how you direct the ropes and all that stuff.
And then
the majority of it's just getting super, super refined with your movement and really smooth and efficient and, being able to climb, basically any great ice really confidently and cleanly.
Okay. Would you say that an ice block is inherently safer than backcountry or about the same?
I think there's pieces that are safer and pieces that are less safe. With the backcountry, you're back in the wilderness.
Yeah.
There's a lot more avalanche awareness. There's a lot of different stuff to keep in mind. Like here at Lake City at the ice park, there's no avy danger. There's nothing you have to worry about there.
That's
but
true.
You have 20 people across the wall that are all sending ice down. You've got people's anchors up top that when you're walking around, everybody's walking across these ropes with crampons and you're like,
there's
a lot of stuff you kind of have to keep in mind in the park that you wouldn't necessarily need in the backcountry. But in the backcountry, obviously, if you get hurt here, it's a 3-minute ambulance ride to the clinic. You get hurt out in the backcountry, you might be 12 miles out.
Absolutely.
With knee deep snowshoeing snow. Like you're.
Yeah, you're a long way from
home. You're in a predicament if you get hurt back there. So there's a lot of. There's ways that it's safer and there's ways that it's less safe.
That makes sense.
It's a lot more adventurous. I love, backcountry ice is my favorite thing in the world. Just like adventuring back and. Hear a rumor that, this flow might be in.
Yeah.
We call it taking the tools for a walk.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to take the tools for a walk, it might not be there. Like we might go for a 10-mile hike and find nothing. you gotta have partners that are okay to just go for a ride.
Right. It's all about the chase.
It's all about the chase.
Yeah. It's kind of like hunting, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But man, when you find a piece of ice that, I've been fortunate enough to go out a couple of times and find ice that, it's only been climbed a handful of times in the history of it, and you're just like, oh my god, this is like, there's been like 6 people who have climbed this
stuff
thing.
Of legend.
This is awesome. And it's a pretty wild feeling to know that you're that far back there and there's so few people have done what you're doing. It's kind of a unique feeling.
Yeah And there's so much backcountry out here. People see it from the roads, or they see it from even the trails in the summer, but there is so much public land out here.
Yeah, and like Google Earth is like, that's Google Earth and CalTopo, man, those two sites.
That's right.
You can get in and you can fly, like you can take a bird's eye view and just fly through all these canyons, and you're like, ooh, there's a steep little cliff with like a big bowl of snow above it. I wonder what that would be like.
There's a little flash of light. Maybe that's a waterfall.
Yeah,
right?
take a couple of day trip and just go back and adventure and find it. And sometimes you strike gold and sometimes you strike out.
Right. have you found any of those out here in this area? You don't have to divulge your locations.
I have found a couple. Actually, yesterday we were out kind of scouting a little bit, and I found a couple things that just up the canyon a ways that I was like, ooh, I might have to go check that out. And so I think in the next, they didn't quite look like they were ready. So assuming conditions stay, you get the warm days where all the snow melts and creates water, and then you get the cold nights where it consolidates and freezes.
Uh-huh.
That's like the perfect recipe for making good solid thick ice. Assuming we get some warm days and cold nights over the next couple weeks, I'll be back down here early next month. And I might take a day and just go adventure, go see what it does.
good plan. It's pretty quiet out here in the winter.
Yeah.
Do you have other winter sports, or is ice climbing your thing?
Ice climbing is definitely my thing. I like snowshoeing and hiking around, and I don't tell anybody I said I like snowshoeing.
I do too.
going out and you know, just hiking around in the winter is beautiful. The sounds that you hear, there's something about a snowy winter day where you're like walking through this pillowy, like knee deep snow, and there's sounds in the trees that you don't hear in the summer. It's just crazy how much of a different experience it is. I still snowboard. I still ski a little bit, not anywhere near what I used to. Uh-huh. So when I grew up, I was out in the Lake Tahoe area. I was a pass holder my whole life and skied tons and tons and tons and moved out here. And first year I put in like 30 days or something like that. It was okay. It was a good season. Yeah. Next year I got like 8 days.
Oh, okay.
Next year I got a half day.
Really?
I bought like an Epic Pass or whatever it was, Rocky Mountain Super Pass back then. Uh-huh.
For a half day. Okay.
I got a half day. I was like, that was a $400 half day. That was ridiculous.
Make the most of it. So ice climbing, obviously you've got to have your crampons, your ice axes. A lot of it's kind of similar to winter hiking and mountaineering. Mm-hmm. But your ice axes are obviously different. So you can reuse your crampons and your boots.
Yes.
But would you say that it's an expensive hobby to get into?
It is. It's got a lot of upfront. It's climbing in general is, you know, sport climbing outside it's relatively affordable. You get a rope, a handful of draws, some webbings for building anchors. And you can go climb pretty much any kind of single pitch, but ice and like trad climbing where you have all the extra gear that you have to bring along, and ice is particularly expensive because one of my favorite ways to climb, it's called mixed climbing. So it's ice and rock. So you're using your crampons and your ice tools, but you're scratching around on dry rock. Wow. And you might be plugging cams, you might be placing, you know, stoppers. Uh-huh. And then you also have your ice screws that you're protecting any bits of ice that you get into.
Right.
It's basically mixed climbing, I think, is probably the most expensive of all of them, because you have to have all of the gear. You have
to
have
all the rock
and
belt.
The harness. You put the harness on, you're like, I weigh 40 extra pounds right now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're typically climbing with, you know, two ropes. So that you have a full, instead of having to rappel out on essentially a half a rope length because you've got the rope doubled, you bring two ropes, you bring skinnier, longer ropes, so you can have longer rappels and longer pitches, and it helps you be a little more efficient when you're climbing, you know, multi pitches.
Okay.
If you're doing six or eight pitches, every little bit of transition time you can save. You save 5 minutes at every transition, and you climb eight pitches, that's 40 minutes. Like, you're saving pretty substantial time. It adds up quick. So,
sure.
You bring as much as little gear as possible, but as much as you need to be safe.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So how would you rate this little ice park?
This is my favorite little ice park.
Your favorite? Wow.
I love it. Like Ure is amazing. Ure is an absolutely outstanding park. I call it the ditch. The gorge is absolutely gorgeous. There's not really any place like it on the planet, like that you can just throw a rope on a tree, drop in 200 feet, and just have sheer vertical cliffs of ice for miles, and it can accommodate a huge numbers of people. Mm-hmm. And Lake City's definitely doesn't have that side of the kind of the mass appeal. But the wall here is super, super good. They do a great job farming the ice. The town is always super, super friendly. Like, Ure is a great town. I love it. It's arguably my favorite town in the state.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
But there's something about Lake City that's just, it's got a charm that Ure doesn't have. I think Ure probably used to have it.
I think you're right. I think it's something to do with the size.
Yeah, but it's kind of grown, and there's enough people climbing. Like, I didn't find ice climbing until relatively soon, or you know, not that long ago. And by the time I got into it, I'm kind of on the early end of the latest wave of new climbers that are coming into it, I guess, if you want to like call it a wave of climbers.
Yeah.
And I think that some of the charm had already kind of been lost a little bit for Ure. Mm. And I feel like Lake City still got that charm. Like, it's still just, you come in and everybody, you know, in the summertime, it's cracking here. It's great. It's going crazy. And then in the winter, it's kind of dead. So you come in and people seem to really genuinely appreciate your presence. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we've had breakfast at, was it Melty's the last 2 days in a row?
Uh-huh. I love Melty's.
Sat there for like 45 minutes just chatting with them and just like having a great conversation. And you know, you might sit and talk with somebody that you run into that you know, but like the shop owners, you're not going to sit down and have an hour long conversation over a breakfast burrito with the guy that's cooking your food.
Yeah, that's unlikely. Yeah, yeah.
And that's something I love about Lake City is you get that. It's just a different experience.
Yeah, you're among friends. Yeah,
yeah. It really is. And the Ice Fest is the exact same thing. You know, there's been a handful of years. I think it's probably pushed 100, 150.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then there's been a couple of years I've been out here where there was like 50.
Yeah.
And it seems to, you'll come 1 year and it's not that busy. And the next year, like, oh man, people are starting to figure out that Lake City's pretty cool. And then the next year it's kind of died off again. And you're like, okay, maybe it was just a random bump of folks. But everybody knows each other. It's like this super family, like it's friends of the family you choose is one of my favorite things to say. It's like they're the people you really want to hang out with. They're all the weirdos that love, you know, freezing and being scared.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like, and it takes a special breed of person to want to do this as far as like, okay, I'm going to go get really cold and really scared.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. That sounds fun. Let's do that.
Yeah. That's a good way to spend a weekend.
Anytime you can find 100 like-minded people and put them in one place, it's like, this is pretty cool.
That's something special. I know when I've been out here photographing people and I kind of, you know, you spend time in between shots just kind of studying people and I try to figure out who's in which group. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's almost impossible to tell because like you're saying, it's like
everybody
a brotherhood.
Yeah. And like once all the ropes are up, it's, you know, I got this rope on this line and, you know, sometimes you're like, I'm just going to hog this line. But, you know, when there's somebody's next to you, they're like, hey, that line looks pretty cool. Can I climb your rope? Yeah, by all means, like jump on this one. We'll trade ropes. And we did that a bunch of times yesterday and everybody, you know, everybody seems to be super respectful and super kind. And like, yeah, it's really easy to just share the whole place. And I've not seen anybody ever have any sort of conflict out here. Like I had a guy I was leading her out last year at the Ice Fest.
Okay.
And I had a guy, he was up above and he built an anchor and he threw his rope and he almost hit me with his rope while I was leading. And I was like, I was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Kind of yelled up at him. And a couple people were like, hey, there's a guy below you. And
Wow.
All right.
I don't think there was anybody there.
No. A little chunk of ice calved off.
Yeah.
So yeah, he, you know, threw the rope and I got up and we got into a little bit of a tiff at the top because he was like, well, I was already here. And I'm like, I'm leading, bud. Like I'm on screws. Like, like whether you were here or not, like we can talk about it, but you don't just you don't walk out to the edge and just lob your rope. Like,
right. I think I would have known that.
Yeah.
Much.
And there were a handful of people that were back that you could see the whole thing happening because he couldn't see me on the ice. I couldn't see him above, but the people that were sitting far enough back, I guess they were yelling up like, you've got a leader, you've got somebody below you. And he just tossed the rope. So he and we had some words up top, but it wasn't anything major. And by the end of the day, we were sharing a rope and we were buds.
Right.
We were fine.
Forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah. It was all good. It was one of those like, I'm sorry. Cool. All right. Done.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, you know, everybody's here for the shared goal.
Yeah. And you know, in Ure, I've seen people threaten to cut people's ropes. Like I've seen some like people almost go to fists, like really nasty conflict. And you're just like, you never get that ego here. I've never seen it.
No. I think everybody's been pretty cool. And I think perhaps maybe because we have more space.
Yeah.
There's less room for conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good chunk of it is because the gorge in Ure is it's a pretty confined space. Like once you're down in there, it's a slot canyon. There's not a lot of room to move around. And anybody who sends any sort of ice down, it's hard to not be in the zone.
Sure.
And you've got the creek that runs through the middle of it. And, you know, in deep winter, the thing's frozen over. And so you can park on the other side and be relatively safe. But in the early season, that creek's still full of water and you can't, like, you're either wading across or like hopping little bridges across and anchoring in on the other side. And it's, you know, it's still doable, but it's a little bit of a pain.
Sure.
Whereas here, it's wide open. Like there's nothing. The little creek is I've never seen anybody go into it, so.
No, you'd have to try how to punch
yeah.
through.
Yeah, it's, there's like little, like right here in front of us, like a little window that's a little bit open, but most everywhere else it's pretty well frozen up.
And yeah, so, by this time of year.
Yeah, you get tons of space to move around and it's really safe. And then, you know, the wood fire and the warming hut.
That's a nice touch.
That's awesome, that's yeah. great.
Because that wasn't always there, so.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one of the big improvements like with the city taking it over is the new bridge and the porta potty and the wood fire and the tent. Like
that's
just
it.
You get some creature comforts that yeah. You have at Ure, but like the warming hut at Ure is down at the very front of the park.
And okay.
If you're in the back of the park, you got a 20-minute walk to get down there,
and then a 20-minute
walk back. Yeah, it's like here you got a 100-foot walk. And
yeah, so, it keeps you out here yeah, for
it's,
sure.
It's easy to just kind of come out and stay really engaged in the climbing the whole day.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's just an awesome spot.
Well, great. I appreciate you talking to me today.
Absolutely.
Since we've never met. So.
Yeah. Piece of cake.
You're my first new guest that I've never actually spoken to
nice.
Before.
Nice. So. Awesome.
I appreciate your time. I'm going to let you get back on the ice.
Yeah, appreciate
it. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Well, that was fun. I learned a little bit about ice climbing, and I'm grateful to Sam for helping us out. Next time, I'll catch the guys that I had originally spoken to, and we'll learn a bit more about their story. But for now, I hope you enjoyed the show. It wasn't really actually what I had scheduled, but this is the ice climbing season, and I had the opportunity, and I went for it. So next week, we'll be back on schedule. We're going to talk to a friend of mine, Ivan, and he runs a local business. He and his wife run a successful business from a downtown building. So I hope you're enjoying the show. I am going to get warm and look at my photos. So as always, please do, if you're enjoying the show, let your friends know. It's early days, so every listener counts. And visit me on my Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and check out some of my stuff at my website. It's all from the high country. Okay. All right. Next time.